Mr. Mogge, Mrs. Strasser, Mrs. Reyes, Mr. Alemayehu, ladies and gentlemen, today is a kickoff and a premiere. It is the first of seven engagement groups meeting to prepare the G7 summit in Elmau at the end of June. Let me say one thing in advance. The German G7 presidency remains committed to tackling the global challenges that the war in Ukraine has only exacerbated. Progress towards an equitable world, that is our ambition. And we will achieve this goal only if we work together. That is why we have not only invited representatives of international organizations to Elmau, but also a number of additional heads of state and governments. And that is why we have very deliberately decided on this outreach to you, our civil society partners, as a key pillar of our presidency. We want to make clear the G7 is far more than just an association of advanced industrialized nations. It is a strong global alliance based on liberal, democratic values and goals. And in the face of the major global challenges, we are doing everything we can to ensure that no cracks open up in this alliance. That is why I'm pleased that the first G7 outreach summit is taking place with you, our civil society partners. Because, and this is my first point, democracy needs a vibrant civil society. It needs you, especially now. A dreadful war has been raging in Ukraine for over 2 months. Not a day goes by without terrible news and images from Mariupol, Bucha, and other Ukrainian towns and villages. It is unacceptable. And that is why the G7 today stands as united as seldom before. The war of aggression against Ukraine has given rise to unprecedented close coordination. Because we can feel what unites us across borders, freedom, democracy, and the rule of law. We must defend and enforce these values against oppression, injustice, and dictatorship. This holds true for governments, it holds true for the citizens of our countries, and it also holds true for the civil society organizations you represent. There is a greater need than ever for your expertise, advice, and experience, particularly because we can see how the scope for civil society engagement is being restricted, not only in Russia, but around the world. We hear of shrinking spaces, especially in authoritarian states. And we want to send a clear signal of opposition to this during Germany's G7 presidency. That is why we are strengthening protection programs for human rights defenders, academics, journalists, and artists. And we are strengthening international criminal jurisdiction and accountability mechanisms, not least in Ukraine. Secondly, civil society engagement can break down barriers between individuals, between social groups, and across borders. In Germany alone, there are about 30 million citizens engaged in a host of ways, many of them on a voluntary basis. Men, women, young people, old people, citizens from very different backgrounds. They get involved. They roll up their sleeves and get stuck in where necessary. This engagement creates ties. It connects people and organizations across borders. We are seeing an example just now in the solidarity with refugees from Ukraine. I saw it for myself in Berlin Tegel. Many citizens are helping in initiatives and arrival centers. I'm incredibly moved by the solidarity of the hundreds of thousands of professional and aid workers and volunteer helpers. Over the past few weeks, they have gone the extra mile. And I'm particularly impressed by the organizations pooling, coordinating, and directing this engagement. Many of them are international organizations like yours, with experts and many years of experience on the ground. They are enabling assistance and support to be provided across borders to the areas in crisis, especially humanitarian assistance and medical care, sometimes under extremely adverse conditions. And they are also documenting atrocities and human rights violations. Therefore, they are often the ones who can really provide reliable information about the situation on the ground. For example, the images from Bucha or Mariupol prove how important the work of photographers and journalists is for reporting, particularly when unfiltered, unattributed information is being spread via social media. This engagement to ensure press freedom and combat misinformation requires courage and great intercultural skills, but it is desperately needed. Therefore, the G7 will hold even more intensive discussions about disinformation campaigns and coordinate our responses to them. My third point is this: we need support from civil society to tackle the major global challenges. The ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, human-induced climate change, food and energy security, and the economic transition are among them. Addressing them requires creative responses and fresh impulses. I firmly believe that those who want to bring about change should cooperate with those who stand for change. These are often none other than the stakeholders from civil societies. You and your organizations play a key role. On the one hand, you are communicators to civil society, promoting acceptance and engagement. On the other, you are important seismographs who sound the alarm, for instance, in the face of menacing food scarcity in the developing countries and emerging economies. You also combine interests and can represent them very effectively. This means more than people having their say and being involved. It means taking an active part in policy making. I want to give you two examples. One is international climate policy, where we are aiming for a paradigm shift. The task that lies before us is immense if we want to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees. And that is something we must do. There is no way around it if we want to save the life of humankind on Earth. In concrete terms, it means that we must reduce global CO2 emissions by 48% compared with 2010. And that until 2030, which means we have less than 8 years left. And by the middle of the century, we must reach net zero, which means carbon neutrality around the globe. An international climate change policy geared to the lowest common denominator won't get us there. Therefore, instead of waiting for the slowest, we will go ahead with the most ambitious countries. This is the idea behind an open, cooperative climate club, which we will push forward at the G7 summit in Elmau in June. Together with other committed countries, we want to accelerate the decarbonization of our industrial sector and identify minimum standards for climate change mitigation. This will give rise to an international market with a level playing field, a market that rewards countries for climate-friendly economic management while offering protection against competitive disadvantages. All these changes will have a massive impact on each and every one of us on the way we live. Support from you, our civil society partners, is needed to assist, guide, and advise policymakers in this process. This is also true when it comes to global health. The COVID-19 pandemic has made one thing clear: we either fight the virus everywhere or nowhere. We therefore want to advance the issue of global vaccine fairness during our G7 presidency. To that end, the international community launched the ACT Accelerator, an initiative that makes vaccines, medicines, and tests available around the world. Germany has pledged a contribution of $1.5 billion this year for that and supporting measures. With a view to future crises, we also need a strong international healthcare infrastructure. That is why we are strengthening the World Health Organization as the prime international health organization. Just last week, the WHO Working Group on Sustainable Financing agreed on a clear target to increase assessed contributions to 50% of the base segment of the program budget. That sounds technical, but means that we enable the WHO to do its job. In addition, we will drive forward global vaccine production. To that end, together with colleagues from four African countries, the European Union, the African Union, and the private sector, German-based company BioNTech, we launched an initial project to kickstart the production of mRNA vaccines in Africa. Because only sustainable progress can be real progress towards a fairer world. I know that is what you are working for too. I would like to thank you all for your engagement in this outreach process. My thanks go in particular to the Association of German Development, NGOs, and the German Forum on Environment and Development for coordinating this C7 process. You have done a great job. And I would like to thank you, especially for also having taken account of civil society perspectives from non-G7 countries, in particular those hit hardest by global crises, such as the pandemic or climate change. It is in this spirit that we are finalizing our preparations for the G7 summit in Elmau in just under 2 months' time. Our goal for this meeting is to send a strong message from the G7 for progress, prosperity, peace, and security. Now I'm looking forward to your recommendations. Let me assure you that we will include them in our work, which I see as a joint endeavor. Thank you.
Thank you, Chancellor Scholz. And the stage is about to be stormed by the hosts of this C7 summit and by two representatives of the C7 steering committee. So let's officially hand over the communique. Matthias Mogger.
Chancellor Scholz, we are very pleased that you are here. I think we very much appreciated your words. You touched upon really a lot of points which are in this roadmap, which are in this communique. 500 colleagues from all over the world have worked on these recommendations. So I think there is a lot of legitimacy in this communique. And of course, you can imagine, we really hope that a lot of what is in there, and you mentioned our civil society innovativeness. We are looking really ahead and that you take this on board in your meetings. So thank you very much. And also Marita has some words to say.
Thank you very much, Chancellor Scholz. You said that you're happy we are on your side helping you putting forward your agenda. But our role as civil society is to be to hold you accountable. And so we are going to go on your nerves and putting pressure on you. I hope you'll read this communique and put it into practice together with your colleagues from the G7.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I had two sentences to tell you as I was told to prepare two sentences. One of them, you said it, lowest common denominator. That is not bringing us anywhere. So be ambitious. The second one is don't decide for developing countries. Try to collaborate with them. Thank you.
Thank you, Chancellor. I just want to say I'm from Mexico, from the Global South. I just want to say, according to an IPCC report, we have only 3 years, not eight. So we really count on developed countries, especially the G7, to lead on the reduction of the carbon emissions and also the material use, because you are responsible of the global overshoot in 90% of the carbon emissions and 73% of material use. So it is your responsibility, and we are looking forward to see the urgent actions that are needed.